Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the amazing Word of God? Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Let's pray. And God, we come before your throne this morning, and we say thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his mercy, for his love, just for the amazing grace that we sang about earlier. And God, help us as a people today to truly see the heart behind this message. Help us as a people today to see just your heart for giving and what that means and what you say about it through the Word of God. So I just ask and pray this morning, Lord, that you would search throughout this room, that you would search our hearts, that you would meet us right where we are at. And Father, by the proclamation of your Word, Lord, that your Word would not return void to us. Lord, that you would accomplish the reason for which you sent it, Lord, into all of our hearts and in our lives and in our minds today. So Father, as a result of today, and by the result of us reading your Word and teaching your Word, Lord, I just ask and pray that we would all leave this room a little bit different, a little bit closer to you by what we have experienced today. So God, lead us right now and bless us, teach us, challenge us, encourage us. Help us to see, Father, that giving is your way and it's your design. Lord, we love you so much. We love you. Be with us right now. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Can I just be honest with you about something this morning? What we are talking about in the area of giving is a very difficult subject to talk about. It's a very difficult subject for me to talk about, and here's why. Here's why it's difficult for pastors to talk about giving, is because pastors do not want to sound greedy. Pastors do not want to sound like they are, you know, asking for money. Pastors do not want to sound like they are preaching a prosperity gospel. But listen, giving is something that we have to talk about. I was talking to one of our dear saints in this church about this 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he said these words to me that really encouraged me about talking about giving. And he says, "Caleb, you have to talk about financial giving. You have to talk about it and what the Word of God says about giving." And here's why. This is what he said to me. "If you don't talk about giving, our people will miss out on so much blessing. Our people will miss out on so much of a blessing from God if you do not talk about giving. Our church will miss out on so much of a blessing from God if you do not talk about giving." So these next two messages, today's message, and also the message next week, they are very important for us in the life of our church. And I really do encourage you to take to heart what we are talking about today, what we are talking about in the area of moving forward to reduce the debt in this facility. Next week is a very important day for us in the life of our church as we recommit, as we re-up, you know, our giving to reduce the debt on this facility. Next week is very important. And I really do encourage you to be here. If you have plans next week, cancel them. I'm just joking. I understand you might have already have plans, but you know, do your best to be here next week. I believe that there are three different people that need to hear this message this morning. Number one is this: is the sacrificial giver. You're giving, you understand the beauty of giving. You understand the blessing of giving. Whenever we talk about this message today and next week, in your heart and in your mind, no, you're nodding your head. I agree. I fully understand that. And if that is you today, you understand this and you practice this, I just want to affirm you in that. I want to affirm you in that. Thank you so much for your giving. I believe as well is that the next person that needs to hear this is the sometimes giver. This person gives whenever they think about it. They give whenever they have some left over. But here is my encouragement to you today. My encouragement to you today, to this person, is that wherever you are at in your giving, if you are the sometimes giver, that today that you would be encouraged to take maybe one step forward in your giving, maybe even two steps forward, or maybe even three steps forward in your giving. So I believe that there is that person, but I also believe that there is this person that needs to hear this message today. This is the never giver. This is the never giver. Here is my encouragement to you today, is that you would not be offended by this message. That you would not be offended by this message, but that you would press into it. That you would truly take it to heart. That you would try it. As the Bible says, that you would test it out. And that you would see what God says about this. And listen, if you, you know, take this message to heart and you're not offended by it, if you try it and you test it, listen, the Bible makes it very clear that you will be blessed as a result of it. You see, giving is something that we have to talk about because the Bible speaks about giving just as much as it talks about any other subject. Proverbs chapter 19 says this, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." Malachi chapter 3, bring the full what? Bring the full tithe, that's 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. He says a blessing comes with giving. You receive so much more in return. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Paul says this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? God loves a cheerful giver. You see, the Bible always says that whatever you give, that you always get something in return. Giving always comes with a guaranteed promise. With the measure and the sacrifice that you give, it is always measured back to you. Giving is good. Giving is good. Could you just say that out loud with me this morning? Giving is good. One more time. Giving is good. Giving is good. And today, what we were talking about is financial giving in the area of the things of God, in the area of giving sacrificially to God and his purposes, to the church, to the ministries of the church. But I want to read to you some facts about what secular science says about giving. Now, again, just a reminder, what we're talking about is giving to the things of God, to the purposes of God, to the offerings of God. But this is what secular science says about giving. It says this, the science of giving, why being generous is good for you. Why giving makes us happier. Many of us believe spending money on ourselves will make us happier than spending money on others. Yet the opposite is true. In one study, participants were asked to spend $5 on themselves or $5 on someone else. Guess which group was measurably happier? Those who spent money on other people. When you give to another person, there is a physiological response. Your brain's pleasure and reward centers light up as if you were the recipient of the good deed, not the giver. This is secular science, okay? This is not a Christian-based study. You get a boost of feel-good endorphins, the same ones associated with a runner's high. Oxytocin floods your body, lowering your stress. Can anybody have their stress lowered today? Just me? Lowering your stress and making you feel more connected to others. A dose of oxytocin will cause people to give more generously and to feel more empathy toward others. And those symptoms can last up to 2 hours after giving to someone else. This is likely why recipients of kindness generally want to keep paying it forward. In fact, a single act of kindness can inspire several more acts of generosity. And that's what secular science says about giving. So God designed us to feel good, to receive pleasure whenever we give. Isn't that amazing to think about? Isn't God good? That the way that he designed us is to receive joy and pleasure whenever we give to others, whenever we give to the purposes of God. God is amazing. He is awesome in just the way that he designed our physical bodies, that we feel good as a result of giving. God is good. So this morning, I want to give us some truths from Luke chapter 1 about sacrificial giving. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus saw the financial offering of the poor widow. Jesus saw the financial offering of the poor widow. Here was this lady. I'm sure she was well below the poverty line of her day. I'm sure she was lonely being a widow. And the Bible says this, that she put in all that she had to live on. Everything. She emptied out her coin purse. She wrote the last check. She emptied out her bank account. She put in everything she had to live on. And it says she gave 2 small copper coins. Each one of these coins was worth about 1/8 of a cent apiece. In reality, nothing. In reality, not much. It would be like the equivalent of the poorest person that you know giving all they have to the purposes of God. And Jesus saw this, and he said this, that it was much more than what all of these rich people who were giving in this account had put in. You see, Jesus saw the heart behind her giving. I read a story this week about a little girl who loved the Lord and who longed to share the message of Christ to those on the mission field. The story says that she contributed a penny to a missionary to help in the work of evangelizing the people of Burma. This missionary was so touched by the little girl's response that he decided to do the most he could with that little penny. After careful thought, he bought a gospel tract and personally gave it to a young chieftain of Burma. The chieftain would not admit that he could not read, yet he burned with a desire to know the contents of the leaflet. He traveled 250 miles to find someone who would read it to him. After hearing the gospel message, it was not long after that that this young chief made a profession of faith in Christ. So returning to his people, he told them what the Lord had done for him. Later, he invited missionaries to come and to share Jesus with the village. Many tribesmen accepted the good news and were converted. All of this, and probably more, resulted from one dedicated penny given in Christ's name by a little girl who gave from her heart. You see, Jesus sees the heart behind our giving. He sees the heart behind our sacrifice whenever we give to his purposes. What does Jesus see whenever he sees your heart in the area of giving? And I'm asking myself this question today. This message is for me as well. What does Jesus see when he sees the heart behind our giving? Does he see a heart that is giving to his purposes? Does he see a heart of trust? Does he see a heart of obedience? Does he see a heart of faithfulness? As God loves a cheerful giver, does he see a heart of joy and cheerfulness in our giving? Does he see a heart of sacrifice in our giving? Or does he see a heart of reluctance in our giving? You see, Jesus, he sees the heart behind our giving. He saw the heart of this poor widow in her giving. Next, if you're taking notes, in this story, Jesus saw what the rich gave, But ultimately, what they did not give. Were the rich really giving? Yeah, they were giving, but compared to what this widow gave, Jesus says no. Compared to what she was giving, they were really not giving. It says that the rich, they gave out of their abundance. They gave out of their abundance. And please understand that abundance does not mean that they just had a lot. This word abundance, what it is translated as, that which was left over. They were giving that which was left over after they had done their thing with their finances, after they had spent their money on what they wanted, that which was left over, they gave that to the purposes of God. There was a man from Dallas, Texas, in a church by the name of Highland Park Church, by the name of Lytton Farrell. He was the pastor here for many years, and he tells of a man in his church who once made a covenant with a former pastor to tithe 10% of his income every single year. And this man was young. He didn't have much, but things changed for this man. The layman tithed $1,000 the year he earned $10,000. $10,000 the year he earned $100,000. The year he earned $1 million, he tithed $100,000. And in 1 year, he made $6 million. But he could just not bring himself to tithe $600,000 to the church. So what'd he do? He telephoned the minister, long since having moved to another church, and asked to see him. Walking into the pastor's office, the man begged to be let out of the covenant, saying, "This tithing business has to stop. It was fine when my tithe was $1,000. But I just cannot afford $600,000. You've got to do something, Reverend." So the pastor knelt on the floor and prayed silently for a long time. Eventually, the man said, "What are you doing? Are you praying that God will let me out of the covenant to tithe?" "No," said the minister. "I'm praying for God to reduce your income back to the level where $1,000 will be your tithe." Do we give like the poor widow with a heart of obedience, with a heart that would honor God, with a heart of sacrifice, or do we give like the rich, that which is left over after I have done my thing? McGee says this: "There are many people who should be giving more than one-tenth to the Lord because of the way he has blessed them. One man told me, if I gave only a tenth of my substance to the Lord, I would feel as though I was stealing from him. God looks at the sacrifice of the giver. Generally, it is the one who cannot give much who is making the real sacrifice. God looks at what we keep for ourselves." Wiersbe says this: "When it comes to our giving, God sees more than the portion. He also sees the proportion. Men see what is given, but God sees what is left, and by that, he measures the gift." And see what he says? "And the condition of our hearts." And the condition of our hearts. You see, Jesus sees what we give whenever it is a heart of sacrifice, when it is of a heart of obedience, when it is of a heart to see his purposes advance for his glory. But at the same time, Jesus also sees what we do not give. Another truth we see is that sacrificial giving is the heartbeat of God. This is the heartbeat of God. This is who our God is. He is a God who gives, who sacrificially gives. This is him. This is our Savior. Chuck Smith says, "So an interesting thing in God's economy is not the amount that you give, but what it costs you to give. So many who are giving less in God's economy are giving more. The amount is immaterial. What's the sacrifice? What's it costing you to give? For God so loved the world that he what? For he gave. For God so loved you. For God so loved Bill. For God so loved Heather. For God so loved Josh, for God so loved Ron, Jennifer that he was, that he gave. He didn't withhold his son from you and I. He gave everything that he had for you and I. This is the heart of our God. Sacrificial giving is the heartbeat of our God. And as followers of Christ, it should be the heart of us as well. William Barclay says, there are two things that determine the value of any gift. Number one is this, the spirit in which it is given. The spirit in which it is given. An offering that has to be extracted is no offering at all. The best gift is that which is from the outflow of a loving heart. So two things that determine the value of any gift. Number one, the spirit in which it is given, the heart behind the gift. But number two, the sacrifice in which it involves. He says this, giving does not begin to be real giving until it hurts. A gift shows our love only when we have had to do without something or have had to work doubly hard in order to give it. How few people give to God like that? So we see this amazing story in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. But what I want us to do right now is I want us to see Luke chapter 21 from about 30,000 feet high. So I want you to imagine yourself seeing verses 1 through 4, all right, at the level that we're looking at it this morning. But I want you to picture yourself flying high and looking at the entire chapter of Luke 21 with me this morning, okay? It is no accident as to what follows in Luke chapter 1. If we look at this entire chapter in context, and I want us to answer this question in looking at the entire chapter. Why is giving to the things of God important? Why is giving to the things of God important? If you're taking notes, write this down. Because the things of this earth will not last. What do I get that from? Look what happens immediately following verse 4. Verses 5 and 6 is this, if you're following along in your copy of the Word of God. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. So they're inside of this temple, and they're adoring it. They're seeing how amazing this temple is. And then Jesus says this, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus is saying, well, yeah, it's a nice temple, but it's not going to be here long. It's not going to be here long. You see, the things of this earth, they're not going to last forever. Our cars that we drive, they're not going to last forever. Our homes that we have, they're not going to last forever. Even our money, when it is not invested into the things of God, even our money will not last forever. But when we choose to invest it into the things of God, it lasts for all of eternity. Even our bodies will not last forever. I was reminded of this on Friday, that my body is not what it used to be. I was helping out at the tailgate up by the football field at about 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and there were some 14-year-old boys out playing some football. And one of these little boys walks up to me and says, you're the pastor at Lake Center, right? I said, yeah, I sure am. And he said, we're playing some football. You think you can guard me? I said, you better believe I can. So he says, see if you can guard me. I said, okay, let's go. When Gavin Stone was there too. So he lines up, and him and Gavin are talking about this little pass play they want to play on me. And so I line up thinking I'm ready to rock and roll, man. You're 14, I'm 35. And he takes off, and he's just flying. I'm like, oh, gosh, what did I just do? And I'm keeping up with him for a second. And he makes a fake, and he completely fakes me out. And I lose my balance, and I go this way, and he goes that way. And Gavin throws the ball, and it goes right between us. So I have a chance to redirect. And I'm running back at this ball full head of steam. And you know what? So was the 14-year-old kid. And we smack like this. And I go right to the ground. He goes right to the ground. And two things popped into my mind immediately as I'm laying there on the ground. The very first thing that popped into my mind was this. Immediately I thought this, Caleb, you are 35 and he is 14. What are you thinking? And then the next thought that popped into my mind was this, you just killed a 14-year-old. And I'm laying there thinking, he's got to be dead. He's got to be dead. I am 200 and something pounds. He's 45 pounds. He's got to be dead. So I stumble up to my knees, all right, and there's all these dads going, who is this kid? Who is this guy out there with these 14-year-olds? And no joke, as you can probably even see the cut, I've got blood coming down my forehead. I've got blood gushing from my mouth all the way down my neck. I mean, just dripping everywhere. And I'm like, what in the world just happened? And I'm thinking, this kid's got to be dead somewhere as I'm on my knees. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice come from above me. Dude, are you okay? It was the 14-year-old kid. I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. Not a scratch on him. And he goes, do you want me to go get you some napkins? So yeah, go get me some napkins. Here's the best part. He didn't catch that ball, though. Okay? I was reminded that my body's not going to last, and the things of earth, they're not going to last. Amen? Charles Spurgeon says this, this was true of the temple at Jerusalem, and today there remains nothing of it. It is also true of all earthly buildings and of all earthly things. However firm they appear to be, as though they might outlast the centuries themselves, yet the things which are seen are temporal and like the baseless fabric of a vision, they shall all melt into thin air and pass away. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we don't see are eternal. F.B. Meyer says, our gifts to God should cost us something, else they are not reckoned in the accounts of eternity. The real value of a gift is to be estimated by what is left behind. Remember that the fragrance and beauty of this act have lasted while the stones of the temple have crumbled to dust. Holy deeds are imperishable. Jesus is still sitting by the treasury, watching and estimating our gifts. You see, giving to God, giving to his purposes, they are eternal and they last forever. Why should we give to the things of God? Why is it important? Because the world needs the gospel. Verses 10 through 13, and I'm going to move along real fast and you listen fast. Verses 10 through 13, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation. Is that happening? Kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. Are there earthquakes going on in various places? Not a day that goes by where we don't hear of hundreds of people dying because of earthquakes. And this is talking about Jesus coming back. Listen, our world needs the gospel. Verse 13 says, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Why should we give to the things of God? Because the world needs the gospel. And whenever we give to the purposes of God, every dollar with a heart behind it that says, God, use us for your glory. He redeems it. And I believe with all my heart that one day in heaven, we will be able to see how our dollars were used for the glory of God. How they were used to advance his kingdom and his purposes. Oh, the world needs the gospel. Why should we give to the things of God? Because the words of Jesus are all true. The words of Jesus, this is prophecy. Verse 20 says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. This is talking about future events that are to come. But this actually happened as well in AD 70. Jerusalem was ransacked and the temple was destroyed. Listen, these words, this stuff is not fake. This stuff is true. The words of Jesus are true. Why should we give to the gospel? Why should we give to the things of God? Because Jesus is going to return one day and give heavenly rewards according to what we have done on the earth. Verses 25 through 27. And there will be signs in the sun and moons and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. Verse 31, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Can I just reiterate that today, church? That the kingdom of God is near. There's a song that says this, that heaven is closer than what we think. It is closer than what we think. He's going to return one day and give heavenly rewards. Matthew 16 says, the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Paul says he will render to each one according to his works. He also says in 2 Corinthians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. These aren't my words. This is the word of God. This is the word of God telling us this today. Why should we give? Because the purposes of God are all that matter. You agree with that today? The purposes of God are all that matter. Verse 34, Jesus says, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. Then he says this line that we should all have underlined. And the cares of this life. He says, don't be weighed down with the cares of this life. Be weighed down with the purposes of God, with the things of God. Because the cares of this life aren't going to last. Only the purposes of God will last. So in closing, I want to move quick. How can we apply this to our life today? Wherever you're at, whether you're the sacrificial giver, whether you are the sometimes giver, whether you're the never giver, write these thoughts down. How can you apply this to your life? Number one is rearrange my life to be able to start with the tithe. You might say, well, Caleb, I can't afford to tithe. Here's my encouragement to you. Start somewhere. Start somewhere and then rearrange your life to be able to get to the tithe. What's that mean? That means maybe give up cable for a season. What's that mean? That means maybe take the cheaper vacation this year. Maybe sell the nice car that you have that you have to make payments on. I think everyone should drive a 2007 Nissan minivan. You can push a button and the back door opens up. I'm just telling you, it's pretty awesome. But rearrange your life and listen, you'll be blessed because of it in so many greater ways than you can ever imagine. This is anti the world. The world will look at you and go, what are you doing? You're crazy. But listen, this is what Christians do. This is what followers of Christ do. I love what Bob Waller says about this. You might ask yourself this question, well, do I tithe off the net or do I tithe off my gross? And Bob Waller says this, do you want the net blessings of God or do you want the gross blessings of God? Rearrange your life and you'll be blessed because of it. Next, how else can we apply this to our life? And you receive this as the Spirit of God speaks to you, okay? Consider giving the maximum amount you can freely give and not just the minimum. This means that once we get to the tithe, that we don't have to stop there. The tithe for many of us is a drop in the bucket of what we could actually give to the purposes of God. Proverbs 11 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. That's a promise from the Word of God. I didn't write this proverb. This is what the Word of God says. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're actually going to study this next week as we close out this series. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. I love what C.S. Lewis says about this. He says, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. And lastly, how can we apply a message like this to our life? Trust that giving is good and the will of God for my life. For some of us in this room, you understand that full well. And I know for many of us, it might be a hard thing to think about. But if we just trust this, that giving is good, and this is God's design, this is God's ways of reaching people. I don't know why God set it up this way, but he did. He could easily call out from heaven, everyone bow to me, but he hasn't done that yet. He chooses to use you and to use myself and to use our resources for ministry, to reach people. And every dollar that you give, when it's behind a heart of obedience, a heart of sacrifice to say, God, use this for the glory of your name, for the honor of your name. Listen, dollars always translates into ministry. It always translates into souls being won for him. When it's given with the heart of God, take this and use it for the glory of your name. John Wesley says, make all you can, save all you can, but give all you can. Winston Churchill says this, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Isn't that good? We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So one more question that I want to answer in closing. Why do we as Christians do this? It'd be so easy just to keep it to ourselves and to do what we want with it, right? It would. But why do Christians do this? And I've already answered it. It's for the gospel. It's for the gospel. It's for the glory of God. It's for him. It's for his purposes. We do it for those that we know need to hear the gospel as we give to his purposes. We do it for the gospel, but as well, we do it because God gives, right? Because this is the heart of our God, because he gave us this ultimate example of his son, Jesus Christ. He did not withhold anything from you. He did not withhold anything from me. We give because God gives. Speaking of gift, have you received the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ? The Bible says that the salvation is a gift. It's a gift that you receive, and it really is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. Do you know today that you are a follower of Christ? That if you were to, heaven forbid, jump in your car in just a few moments and to possibly have an accident, that if you were to pass away, that you would go to be in heaven where Jesus Christ is? Have you received the gift that Jesus Christ gives, the gift of himself? The Bible says this, that we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you confess that with your mouth and you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And you believe in your heart that the gift that he is giving you is to cover your sins. That the sacrifice that he has made for you is covering all of your sins. And you believe that in your heart and you simply receive his righteousness. Have you received his righteousness? Today you can do that. You can receive his righteousness. How's God speaking to you this morning? How's he speaking to you about your giving? And I hope and pray today that if you needed to take some steps forward in your giving, maybe just some steps forward, that you heard the heart behind this message, that you weren't offended by it, that you would understand that giving is good and that it is the will of God for our lives. So how's God speaking to you today? Is it about your giving? Maybe there's something on your heart today that God is speaking to you about. Maybe it has nothing to do with your giving, and maybe you just need prayer today about something. Today, we're going to have a time of response, and if you need prayer for something, we have some people that are going to be up here in just a few moments that would just love to pray over you. I've said this many times, and I'll just continue to say it. It is my desire that we would be a house of prayer, that we would be a people of prayer, that if we have any concerns in our lives whatsoever, that we would give those to God, and that we would not be even afraid to ask somebody to pray over us. So if you need prayer today, in just a moment, we're going to have some people down here who would love just to pray over you. There's something about receiving prayer from someone. Would you receive prayer today? Would you be obedient to God today? Maybe you want to join our church and be a part of what God's doing here. You come tell me that. Maybe you want to be baptized and proclaim to the world that you are a follower of Christ. Come tell us that, and we will celebrate with you. But you be obedient to God as the Spirit of God is speaking to you. Would you pray with me this morning? And God, we come before your amazing throne, and we say thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the example that he gave, the example that you gave us your Son, and then Jesus gave of himself. So Lord, help us to be a people that would give of ourselves, that would give to others, that would give financially to your purposes, God. Help us to be a people who would do that. God, not for our name, not so that people could look at us, but God, for you and for your purposes. If you're out there today and you just need someone to pray for you, would you just take a step forward in just a moment and receive prayer from one of these prayer warriors who would love to go to the throne of God on your behalf? Maybe you're out there today and you've never received the gift of salvation. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you feel your spirit, something in your spirit, just uneasy this morning. Call on Jesus to save you. Say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to save me from my sin. I received the gift of salvation. Jesus, save me. And then commit your life from this point forward to follow him. Would you do that this morning? Where are you at in your giving? It's between you and God. I understand that. Do you need to take a step forward in that? Do you need to try it? Do you need to test it? You be obedient to God. God, we love you. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to participate in your purposes, God. What a joy, what a blessing and honor that is. We love you, God. Use this time for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, you be obedient to God. You respond to him as we stand and as we sing.